the difference between Western medicine and alternative medicine, every time I hear the phrase alternative medicine, I've always thought of the Chinese, the ancient Chinese, with all their mixing of herbs and spices and supplements and things like that. Is that accurate?
Yes. I use actually three different philosophies of medicine I combine. I think what I call divine philosophies. Acupuncture came up out of Asia, which is the electrical circuitry of the body. The philosophy of homeopathy, of how disease moves in and out of the body, came up in the U.S., and I'm heavily into structure and osteopathy and chiropractic, because that's a key. You've got to put those three together. And there was basically a very famous scientist that said disease cannot exist where there are no obstructions. If you've got obstruction in the flow, you're going to get a stagnant pond, and in the stagnant pond, that's where the germs grow. So it's not the germ, it's the stagnation and the blockage in the body. So the structure of the body, to me, I'm heavily into.
You got interested also in looking at blood, the holographic blood, one of your works. Tell me about this.
Well, this started about 25 years ago. I was sponsored by a private foundation to go to Europe to see what was going on. And then we ended up in Montreal, outside of Montreal, at this French-Canadian physicist, Gaston Naissens, who's got a microscope that will magnify up to 30,000 times. They took a drop of blood, and we looked at the blood. And I looked in there, and I broke out in goosebumps. I had never seen anything like it. There were all sorts of things moving and living in the blood. I was taught in medical school, if you take a drop of blood out of the body, the blood will die. And this blood is sterile. No. We have so many things. There are plant life in the blood. Platelets are plants. There are things moving in the blood. There are no names in American literature. And in 100 years, I'm the third medical doctor only in 100 years to look at the blood live.
That's amazing.
It blows me away. What they do is they stain the blood, and the stain fixes everything from immortality. If it's not stainable, it's invisible.
Uh-huh. That's a good point.
And it was, to tell you how close they are, I once had the chief of hematology at Tufts New England Medical Center in my clinic in Mexico, and he said, why would anyone look at the live blood? And he refused to look at my microscope.
These things that are in the blood, should they be there?
Yes, this is our life. They carry the life force, the energy, the chi, the ki, the prana, whatever it is. The Germans have names for them, call them sympatites or symbionts. The French call them somatids. We don't have any name for them, but they are carrying the life force. And you can see if you're, quote, ill, you can see the activity, tremendous activity. If you're doing well, it's mellow. You can tell all that activity in the blood. There's so much life in the blood, it's incredible.
How can you purify your blood? How can you keep it in top condition?
Well, it's the body. The blood is telling us what's going on. Basically, the structure of the body is the real key. Surgeries are very damaging because they're actually someone's putting a knife into you. Okay, that's very damaging. It's taking care of your body. I'm not a jogging fan, yoga fan, breathing. Most important thing to do is the breath. The yoga breathing is very important type of thing. Swimming is great. We can fast for days, but you can't stop breathing. The better oxygenated our cells are, the healthier we are. That is the single best key. Not the foods, it's the oxygenation.
What do you think of going in some of these hyperbaric chambers?
We use them all the time.
Ah, you like them then?
Oh, okay. I love them. In fact, cancer is an anaerobic disease. Cancer only lives, it's a glucose metabolism, and only lives anaerobically and no oxygen. Oxygen will actually slow the growth of cancer, so we take our cancer patients and throw them in hyperbaric chambers. We have them go leash them, and they sleep in them. And
I'd go nuts in one of those things, Harvey.
Well, I'm a little claustrophobic. We got a pretty big one in our office.
but they're clear, so you can look out, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. We can clear. We with people, you can speak in there. In fact, the one I have, you can sit up there. And at times, I'll just take an hour break or something like that, and just take a nap in there.
It's the non-moving, I guess, that would freak me out.
Well, like I said, I'm claustrophobic, but I can quiet down and meditate in there, and you come out. Clear. You come out so clear because all of a sudden you're high octane. It's not that you're running around. You're more grounded. You're clearer. You can see the change in the live blood before and afterwards. And when the oncologists see my patients, they keep on asking them, how come you're doing better than all my other cases?
That's good for you.
That's one of the reasons is the hyperbaric chamber. They are very good.
I took a closed MRI once, and I got to tell you, I felt like I was in a casket. I couldn't go through it. It was like a 40-minute thing. And 28 minutes into it, the nurse came back and said, "We've got to start all over. You moved." And I went, "I didn't move." She said, "I'm sorry, you moved. We have to start all over." And they give you this little button to squeeze. It's like the little panic button. And it hit me, Harvey. It just hit me. I wanted out of that thing, and I left, and I never did the test. Well, now they thank God they've got these open donut-looking ones.
Well, you know,
much better.
Come back to this is what medicine today has been. Medicine to me in the United States has become a Las Vegas show. It's all glitz and all of these things. Got to put you in these MRIs and all of that. No one takes a look at the blood.
Yeah.
Unbelievable that they do all of these wild things and fancy and everything that, and no one comes back to the simplicity. And what gets me on this whole thing, all these people doing these fancy things, do you know how many diseases they've cured in 100 years? None. What makes them the experts, and why do we all follow them?
None. You know, I was talking about this about a month ago. You know, Jerry Lewis, God love him.
God bless
every
him.
Year. Every year does his muscular dystrophy campaign. Must have raised billions of dollars by now. Are we any closer to solving muscular dystrophy?
No, he's actually building playgrounds now with his money. It's so sad to watch it. We're not close to anything because it reminds me, what's going on in science today reminds me of the moron that lost a quarter on a dark night and was looking two blocks down the street because that's where the street lamp was. You know, they don't wake up and say, wait a second, maybe let's look at it another way. No, it's so dominated by the germ theory of disease and by the pharmaceutical industry and all the research. 90% of the research is sponsored by the pharmaceutical industry.
Well, and you want, they want research to go on every year. It's what funds them, isn't it?
Right, but again, it's pharmaceutical research. 90% is pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
It's not research. I mean, I can't write an article in the journal because there's no double blinds. I can't. There's no double blinds of George Nuri's blood.
Good point.
Okay, and they will not accept it. On double blinds, again, this is a crazy concept. How is George Nuri a double blind?
What kind of microscope did you use to look at the blood?
It's called a dark field microscope. You don't need major power on it. I have some very good microscopes that I've had from Germany for a while. There's a couple now you can make in the United States with and seeing this. They're not major microscopes, but dark field gives you, it's not looking bright. It's a reflective way of looking at it and gives you pictures in the blood. If you go to my website, you'll see some of the videos and stuff that's moving around in the blood and the pictures in the blood on that.
So when you have disease, can you see that in the blood too?
Oh, without question, yes.
They're scooting all over the place.
Everything. You know, if your blood dies in an hour, you don't have long to live. You give me a five-year-old kid, their blood's going to 4 or 5 days on that slide. So the faster your blood deteriorates, the faster you're going to die, and you can actually see it happening. Okay, and everything, you can see how well oxygenated it is. Also, the blood has images of it. My book, The Holographic Blood, it took me years to believe it even. I mean, if a woman's pregnant, I can see that in the blood, and I can see pictures in the blood. You can see that in my book of actually the baby.
So is that one of the first things you try to solve, the blood?
Yes. Basically, a patient comes in to me. If you came in to me, I would do a history and a physical on you, but I'd look at where you've been invaded, where your body's been beaten up. Example, Lyme disease. We're getting tremendous terms around on Lyme disease, and it's not the germ. You look at them. In 2006, they had a vasectomy. 2007, Lyme disease. And it was the surgery. Okay, again, surgery, again, is the knife cutting the body. And this is a great creation, and the body is a constant moving thing. And when you have a scar, it's a block, it's a disturbance field, nothing gets through with it. As soon as we treated the vasectomy scar on the patient with using this concept of neurotherapy, 2 days later, he's out of bed and he's back to work.